right, LifePoint Church, so good to be back with you. So good to see each and every one of you. To say it's been a wild and interesting year is like the most massive understatement ever. But I'm just so glad that we can be back in person together. I can see your faces, and I'm sorry, but you can see mine. But it's just good to be back. And of course, for those of you that are joining us online, thank you so much for being a part of our online community and hanging out with us here, whenever it is that you're watching. So today, we are wrapping up our three-week series called Tis the Season. I think everyone knows this, but it is now officially the week of Christmas, which is kind of weird because Christmas is like way at the end of the week. But we're wrapping this series up on Christmas week. And in this series, what we've been doing, we've been going through the Christmas story, right? The account within Scripture, both in Matthew and Luke, about the birth of Jesus. And so far, what we've seen throughout this series is that this holiday season, right? That Christmas time, it is the season for faith. And also that it's a season of joy. In week one of this series, we kick things off by talking about the accounts of when Mary and Joseph found out that they were going to be the parents to the Messiah. When they heard that crazy message from an angel that totally interrupted their life plans. I mean, there's no way that this young engaged couple had in their plans, like in their five-year plan, that they were going to birth the Messiah. That just wasn't there. But yet, they demonstrated just incredible and crazy faith when they said yes to what God had asked them to do. Even though it was an interruption, even though it wasn't going to be easy, even though for Mary, it could cost her her life, and for Joseph, it could cost him his reputation and his future. They said yes. And what we see in that is that many times God's interruptions are an invitation to something incredible. But it's going to require faith. Last week, we dove into Luke chapter 2, more commonly known as the Christmas story. And we focused in on some of the words that the angels spoke to the shepherds when the angel announced the birth of Jesus. Specifically on these words, the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." And last week we talked about how this is a season for joy. And if you missed either one of those messages, you can go back, you can check them out on our Facebook page, our YouTube page, or on our website. They're all there, they're posted. So if you missed that, you can go check those out. But today, like I said, we're wrapping this series up, and we're jumping right back into Luke chapter 2. Because, you know, it's Christmas. It's fitting. We got to. But it's so good. So we're going to talk about, again, Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 8. So check it out. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." I'd be the same way. But they were terrified. But then the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." The greatest news that had ever been proclaimed in all of history. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Now, if you watched last week, and we were talking about the fact that this is good news, and it caused a great joy for all the people, and one of the reasons for that was because this news, the birth of Jesus, brought about the ultimate hope, right? It brought about hope like hope had never been experienced before. Therefore, when we're talking about Christmas time now, 'tis the season for hope, right? 'Tis the season for hope. And let's be honest, man, like today, during this holiday season, probably now more than ever, like we are longing for hope. Like with everything that has transpired, everything that's going on, we need and are looking for hope. in any and every area that we possibly can. 2020 has been crazy. It's been buck wild, and not in a good way. It's just not been good. And we need hope. I don't know how many times over the last 9 months that I've heard people say something about having hope or needing to have hope or wanting to have hope for the future. Like, I've heard it countless number of times, right? Like, hope that things will be different, right? Hope that things will get better. Hope that things will get back to normal. Whatever normal is, right? Most people just say, refer to no masks, but they want to get back to normal. People have hope that our country can maybe actually unite past all the political drama that we've experienced this year. Hope that we can eliminate the blatant and systemic racism that exists. People talk about hope. Hope for the future. Hope for equal rights for everyone. Hope that we can actually treat people better. Hope that maybe you would be treated better. Hope that we could be a more loving, right, and understanding community. A more loving and understanding world. Maybe more down to your specific level, that you have hope that you're not going to lose your job. Hope that you're not going to get laid off during this time. You have hope that maybe your kids will actually go back to school so you can have some peace and quiet and stop being a teacher. Maybe you have hope that you'll be able to survive financially. Hope that this pandemic will end. Hope that 2021 will be vastly better than 2020. Hope is something that we are all talking about right now, now more than ever. We all need hope. You see, hope is this beautiful and powerful thing that has the ability to sustain us regardless whatever it is that we're going through. Like, hope is what keeps us going. Maybe for you, it's just been, during the last 9 months, it's just been hope that's kept you going. Hope is powerful. But here's the catch. It actually matters what you put your hope into. It matters where you're placing your hope. It matters what the foundational root of your hope is. See, because that actually dictates your quality of life and the outcome, honestly, of your life when things hit the fan, right? When it goes south, where you put your hope matters. Therefore, maybe one of the most important questions that you could ever be asked is this: what are you placing your hope in? And I want you to really think about that right now. Like, seriously, for you, right now, December 2020, what are you placing your hope in? Or I could say maybe for you, it's who are you placing your hope in? Maybe for you, hope is simply, you've placed your hope simply in being a good person, right? That if I'm a good person, then good things will happen. You know, good things will happen around me. You know, I'm placing my hope in just being a good person. Maybe your hope is placed in our country and its government and political leaders, and that's where you're placing your hope. Maybe for you, it's you're hoping in financial security. That as long as I have my finances in order, everything will be good. Maybe for you, it's your career. You've placed all your hope, all your eggs in the basket of your career. Or maybe you've placed your hope solely in your spouse or in your kids. Maybe you've placed your hope in religion. I know far too many people that have placed their hope in religion, placing their hope in a pastor. Please, don't put your hope in me. I'm going to help you out real quick with that. I don't know that I even had to tell any of y'all that. You're like, y'all, duh. But maybe you've placed your hope in religion or in a pastor or in your favorite author or a theologian or another teacher. Maybe you've put your hope in a specific denomination or a specific church. Name. But where you place your hope truly, truly matters. So I really want you to wrestle with that question. What are you placing your hope in? Or who are you placing your hope in? You see, as I stated last week, and then just a few minutes ago, as with the birth of Jesus, right? When Jesus came on the scene, God in the flesh, it brought about the ultimate hope. So as simply and clearly as I can say it today, I want to give you this. And I don't think this is going to be anything shocking or amazing or eye-opening for you that you've maybe not ever heard. But I really want you to take it to heart and let it sink in. Is that Jesus is our hope. Like, period, the end. Jesus is our hope. You see, if you're placing your hope, your ultimate hope, right? Like the foundation, the root of your hope in anything other than Jesus, honestly, you're just setting yourself up for disappointment and frustration. You're setting yourself up to be let down and discouraged. You see, if you, the things of this world, even the good things, like the good and enjoyable things, things that are pleasurable, that aren't bad, even those things are temporary. They won't last. If you're placing your hope in feelings, you know, when you're on an emotional high and things are good, it feels great. But you can't place your hope solely in that because they're temporary. They can change, and they can change quickly. If you're placing your hope in a person, trust me, I've learned from experience, it doesn't matter how good they are or how just amazing of a human they are, they have the potential to let you down, to disappoint you, to hurt you, to wrong you. And they may not do it intentionally. They're only human. And that's why it matters who we place our trust or our hope in. You see, things are temporary. People are people. They'll let you down. But Jesus, man, he will never, ever let you down. He will never fail you. He will never disappoint you. He will always have your back, and he will be there forever. Sure, that doesn't mean that things are always going to be perfect, that everything's going to feel good all the time. But at the end of the day, when your root hope is in Jesus, you're going to be okay. You're going to make it through, and you're going to make it through well. 'Tis the season for hope, because Jesus, he is our hope. He's our ultimate and lasting and forever hope. And I want to break this down a little bit further to help you to see the kind of hope that we actually have in Jesus. Right? I want to further explain how I can sit here and say with such confidence that this Christmas season, regardless of what's going on, that it is a season for hope. That I can say with confidence that regardless of what may be going on around you in the world, or what might be going on in your life personally, regardless of what that is that you can still have hope. Hope can be found in Jesus. And I want to break this down a little bit. And you see, because Jesus, when he was born some 2,000 plus years ago, because of that fact, we were extended some of the most amazing and beautiful and life-changing promises as a result that, if received, will always, always lead us in the direction of hope. They will always lead us in the direction of hope. And there's these promises that we have because of Jesus. And these are promises that we have only through Jesus. You can't get to them any other way but through Jesus. And it's because he was born. This is why it's such a season of hope. So what are some of these promises? Well, I'm going to only go through a few of them, because when you actually look through Scripture and you look at the promises of Jesus, there are like thousands and thousands of promises, beautiful, amazing promises that we have in him. And I don't think you all want me to sit up here and go through all of those right now, as my wife is the first one to be like, no. No, we're not doing it. But I want to share with you just a few of the key, some of what I believe to be the key promises that will ultimately lead us to hope. These promises that are incredibly reassuring and hope-inducing promises that we have directly from Jesus. So I want to share a few of these with you today. And the first promise that we have because of and through Jesus is the promise of rest. It's the promise of rest. Now, how many of you, with the year that we've had, you know, like compounded by it being the holiday season, how many of you are hoping for some rest in the like very near future, right? If you're online, you can throw up an emoji, that's cool, right? We are all longing for rest, whether it be emotional, physical, mental, or spiritual rest. But you see, Jesus promises that to us. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through verse 30 says, Jesus tells his people this. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, through Jesus, we have the promise and the hope of rest. The second promise that we have because of and through Jesus is the promise of peace. We have hope for peace because of Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus comforts his disciples and us today with these words and with this promise. He says, "Peace I leave with you." And then he takes it a step further and says, "My peace I give you." So we're not just talking about any peace, right? We're talking about the peace of Jesus, the peace of God. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." It doesn't say that bad things won't happen. It doesn't say that you won't be afraid. It doesn't say that you won't have trials and temptations and struggles and bad days, and you know, just it doesn't mean you're not going to go through it. But what it does say is that Jesus is saying, "I'm leaving you with peace, with my peace." Through Jesus, we have the promise and the hope of peace. The third promise that we have because of and through Jesus is the promise of presence. More specifically, the promise of his presence, which to me, for me personally, over the years has been one of the most incredible promises and the most incredible things, pieces of hope that I've clung to over the years is the fact that I am always, always in the presence of Jesus, and that he is always with me. Again, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, but when we read through the Christmas story, it says his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. He is with us. In some of Jesus' final words to his disciples before ascending into heaven, Jesus said this in Matthew 28, verse 20, which is the tail end of the Great Commission. He says in the last sentence, it says, Jesus says, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." It's a promise. It's a guarantee. We have hope because we can live every second of every day, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what's going on in our life, no matter what's being done to us. We have hope and a promise that Jesus is with you. "Surely I'm with you always." And when he says always, he means always. The fourth promise that we have because of and through Jesus is the promise of forgiveness, right? The promise and the hope of forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Note the word, all unrighteousness. And then in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, when the angel appeared to Joseph, right, back to the Christmas story, the angel says about Mary, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." because of Jesus. And through Jesus, we can be forgiven for any and all sin. You can be forgiven for anything. I don't care how bad it was or how bad it made you feel or maybe how bad it hurt somebody else. God can forgive those things and he will forgive those things. It's a promise. If that we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. But it's through Jesus. It's because of Jesus. In the same vein as this, the fifth promise that we have because of and through Jesus is this beautiful promise of salvation. We have the promise and the hope of salvation. John 3:16, one of the most well-known verses in the world, is for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, it says, But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. Basically to save those who are under the law, that they might receive adoption to sonship. You see, because of and through Jesus, we have been redeemed. We have been saved. We have the ability to be made right before God. But it's only, hear me clearly, it's only through Jesus. We've been freed from the punishment of sin, freed from the guilt and shame of sin. We've been freed from religion and a works-based salvation. We've been freed from all that because of Jesus, because he was born. And through him, we have the gift, the promise, and the hope of salvation. And the final promise that I'm going to share with you today that we have because of and through Jesus is the promise of victory. If I could sing, I'd break out in victory in Jesus or something, you know. One of my former pastors used to walk around singing that at the top of his lungs all the time. And I guess he could sing, but not great, but it would have been better than me. Anyways, I digress, but we have the hope and the promise of victory. What a beautiful promise. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54 through 58, Paul writes this. It says, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. And check this out. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory. Through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was born. Because God came down, walked among us, we have victory. We have victory. It doesn't matter what we face. It doesn't matter what happens to us. It doesn't matter what goes on in the world around us. The fact remains is that if you are connected to Jesus, you have ultimate victory. Not because you're great. You don't need to be boasting about that because it ain't about you. It's about him. But because of him and through him, we can have victory, rest, peace, presence, forgiveness, salvation, and victory. Just a few of the things that have been promised to us because of Jesus and through Jesus. 'Tis the season for hope. Because Jesus is our hope. And I don't know exactly what it is that you're going through right now. I don't know what or where you've placed your hope. I don't know whether or not your hope is actually like in the process of wavering, or maybe you can't even find hope whatsoever right now. I don't know what your relationship with Jesus is like, or it's not like, or if it even exists. I don't know everything for every single one of you. But what I do know is this, that no matter what you're going through, no matter how you feel, there's still hope. There is still hope. There's hope because Jesus was born. There's hope because Jesus went to the cross. He lived a perfect life, and he died a criminal's death for you in your place, taking on your punishment, your guilt, your sin, and your shame, and he did it for you. That's why there's hope. And there's hope because the story doesn't end there. There's hope because 3 days later, he rose again, defeating death, hell, and the grave. This is why it's a season for hope. And this is exactly why Jesus is our only lasting, true hope. Not that any of the other things are bad. Not that, like, you're going to get scolded if you say, man, I hope this happens, or, man, I hope that this blah, blah, blah. No, that's fine. That's cool. But your root foundational hope must be in Jesus, because he is our hope. And today, if you are really struggling to find hope during this holiday season, because I know some of you are, I know it. And if you're struggling to find hope, I want to encourage you this week, in the days leading up to Christmas, I really want you just to spend some intentional time with Jesus. Just spend some time with him. Let him know why you're struggling to have hope. Let him know how you feel. If you're angry, let him know. If you're sad, let him know. Trust me, he can handle it. He's God. Let him know what you feel. Maybe for you, it would be beneficial to work through some of these six promises that I just shared with you. Maybe that gives you a little bit of an outline. You can go back and you can think through those, and you can meditate through the scripture that's associated with that. And you can read more of the context that's in those. But you can read through those things, and you can pray through those things, and you can allow Jesus to speak those promises over your life to lead you back to hope, to renew a sense of hope within you. Let him do that. But you have to go to him. You have to understand and believe that there is still hope. Let him renew your mind. Let him give you a fresh perspective on hope as we close out this very challenging and difficult year in the next few weeks. Just spend some intentional time with Jesus this week if you're struggling to find hope. Tis the season for hope. And it's only because Jesus is our hope. Let's pray. Jesus, we come to you today as a church family, and we just want to say we are so thankful that you came down, that you were born. And we celebrate that, and we honor that today as we enter into this week of Christmas, Lord. May we celebrate and remember that this is really what it's all about. It's about you. It's about the fact that you came down, and because of that, we have hope. We have joy. We can have faith. We can trust you that you are good, that you have our back. Because you were born, everything changed. Jesus, we're so thankful for that. We're not worthy of that. We're not deserving of it, but we thank you. We thank you. As we continue in a spirit of prayer, maybe you're here this morning, or you're checking LifePoint out online, or it's the Christmas week, Christmas service, so you just dropped into a service. But if that's you this morning, and maybe you're in a position where you're struggling to find hope, you're struggling to understand that Jesus is your hope because you do not have a relationship with Jesus. And if that's you, it's okay. Like, you are in the most beautiful place for that. Because here at LifePoint Church, that's all we long for you, is for you, all we long for is for you to know Jesus. For you to have a connected relationship with Jesus. And from that point on, we just want to do life with you. We want to hang out with you. We want to help you walk this new journey with Jesus, to know him more, and then to go share with others. But the first step in that is knowing Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've been to church for a long time. Maybe you've gone through the motions. Maybe you put your hope in religion and then church or in your parents' religion or whatever it may be, but you've never entered into a personal relationship with Jesus one-on-one. And if that's you, and Scripture is very clear, you know, as we just shared these promises that we have in Jesus, this promise of forgiveness, the promise of salvation, the promise of victory, all of that can be yours, but it comes through Jesus. Scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved. Confess your sins, you'll be forgiven. You come to Jesus and trust him, you'll be saved. You'll receive that promise of salvation. Along with that comes victory and rest and peace and presence, and so many more incredible things. And if that's where you're at, I just want to encourage you, just to call out to Jesus however he leads you. Just confess and believe. Confess your sins, believe that he is who he says he is. Place your faith and trust in him. If you have questions about that, and you're here in person, I'd love to talk to you after the service about that. Or if you're online, go ahead and leave a comment or send us a direct message. Someone from the team will get back with you. We would love to talk with you about that or answer any questions that you might have. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. A decision that leads to hope. But maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christ follower. You know Jesus is your personal Savior. You know the head knowledge, those six promises exist for you, but you've lost hope. You've lost sight of it. You've been beat up by the trials and the difficulties that has been this year. Maybe for you it has nothing to do with the things that have happened in the, you know, in the big picture of, you know, the media. Maybe for you it's more personal. Personal hurt, personal loss, personal confusion, new directions, new challenges, confused, maybe you just lost hope. If that's you, again, I want to encourage you, spend some time with Jesus. Remember that he is the author and perfecter of your faith, therefore he is our hope. So go back to him today. Spend some time with him this week and let him speak truth and hope over your life. Jesus, again, we thank you for loving us. We thank you so much for dying for us. We thank you for taking on our guilt and shame and our sin, taking our place so that we could be made right with the Father. Jesus, for those that don't know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that they would just lay down whatever it is that's in the way of them connecting with you. They would push it to the side and that they would trust you with their life, with their heart, with their everything. God, because it'll be the most incredible decision. May they know that. May they trust you. May we as LifePoint encourage them and set a beautiful example for them. And for those, Lord, that do know you as Savior, God, I pray that you would instill a fresh spirit of hope within them. As we go through this Christmas week and into the new year, birth new hope within us, Father. Jesus, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for being our rest and our peace and for always allowing us to be in your presence for salvation, for forgiveness, and for victory. Jesus, we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you all so much for being here with us once again for LifePoint Online. If this is your first time here with us, thank you all so much for being here and hanging out with us and checking out LifePoint Church. If you'd like more information or if you have any questions, you can either drop a comment below or you can visit us on our website or any of our social media platforms. And if you have questions, just go ahead and ask, and someone from our team will get back with you as soon as we possibly can. Also, if you want to continue to worship with your tithes and your offerings, or if you just simply want to give to LifePoint Church, you could head over to our website. It's lpc502.com. In the top right-hand corner is an online giving button. If you click it, it takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. You can also begin to text to give by texting the amount that you want to give to the number 84321. But however you choose to give, we are just so thankful and humbled by the fact that you're on mission and that you're giving back just a portion of what it is that God has blessed you with. Again, thank you all so much for being here with us today. We hope that you'll join us in connecting and doing life online throughout the week. And until next Sunday, we'll see you later. Have a great one.